you move us to give freely and cheerfully back to you, that we give back to our church, give back to our community, and we give to your kingdom. May it be a reflection of not ourselves, but may it be a reflection of your love and generosity to bring honor to your name. We trust in your faithfulness, and we trust in your provision. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Roscoe. It was lovely. And good morning, everybody. It's so good to see each of you here this morning. As Roscoe was saying, snow might be coming, so I'm here with you. I'm empathizing. I'm sorry. It's going to be a good week. It's going to be a good week. So we're excited today to continue on with our series in the Gospel of Luke, really diving into Jesus and his ministry and what he was all about, who he came to see, all of these things. So we're really excited to continue on with this really series that we've been working on. So there's a common saying, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Yeah, you guys all know it. It's so common, right? And really today, what we're going to be looking at is really a sermon that Jesus gave, a really, really important sermon that Jesus gave. So I feel like today it's kind of different. Like I feel like I just get to commentate on the sermon that Jesus already gave. And really that phrase, one man's trash is another man's treasure, I think that actually really encompasses what Jesus is saying. And we're going to get into that a bit, but really it's about Jesus looking at people who a lot of people would say aren't important, don't have value, all of these things, and Jesus is telling them that they are so important and valued and loved. So it's this really beautiful passage that Jesus is preaching here, and I'm excited to read it out for you here today. So I'll just start off by reading, we'll start in verse 20, and I'll just read it all through to 36. So looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is King. He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." What a high calling in that, the word of the Lord. So this is obviously a very beautiful sermon, and it's like there's a lot in there, right? And it's kind of strange. And something we've talked about in the past is this idea of Jesus bringing a kingdom that is completely upside down from what we're used to. And that's really what Jesus is talking about here, his completely upside down kingdom that is completely different from what we think it should look like. It looks very different from how we would build up a kingdom and construct our own lives. Jesus is telling us this is what his kingdom looks like, the beautiful kingdom of God that if you follow Jesus, you're a citizen of. So this is really what it's all about. So I want to, before we dive into what all of that means, you probably know them as the Beatitudes, that blessed are the poor and all of those things, I want to just look at some background. I want to look at a bit of background. So as David preached last Sunday, he did such an awesome job leading us into this sermon of Jesus. Jesus, he's with his 12 core disciples, and he's up on a hill. He's up on a hill with his core 12 disciples, and then Jesus looks down, and what happens is he sees a whole crowd of people. He sees a whole crowd of people, and they came from all around the country, it says. You can look at these the verses before 20. He's all around the country. They're coming. They want to see Jesus. And we're told that the reason they're coming is because they want healing. They want deliverance. They want to be cleansed because they need something from Jesus. And this crowd is actually called his disciples. So in verse 21, it says, Jesus looked at his disciples. He's calling this whole crowd his disciples. And you think about this, it tells us this crowd of people underneath Jesus on this hill, they come from all different places. We can assume that they all have different backgrounds, right? We can assume that there's some very wealthy, well-off people. We can also definitely know that there were some poor people, right? It says people were coming for healing, for cleansing. This means that these were people that probably couldn't work. These were people who were poor, people who were sick, people who maybe had physical, mental disabilities, all of these things, these people that were unclean according to society, these people that had been rejected by society. This is the crowd Jesus sees. And this is really important context for this sermon. And in Luke 6:17, it's a verse from David last Sunday. I just want to say it again. It's really important. It says this: Jesus went down with them and stood on a level place. And obviously Luke here, he's literally telling us something that Jesus did. But in verse 17, I think Luke is also trying to describe something greater. The very position of Jesus, that Jesus is up on this mountain, looks down, and he sees these people who are suffering, who are sick, who have been rejected by society, the very misfits of society. And Luke says, Jesus went down with them, and he stood with them at a level place. He stood with them at a level place. I think Luke is trying to tell us something about the character of Jesus here. That he sees these poor misfits, those who have been rejected, and Jesus levels himself with them. Jesus, he's the king of all, right? Like Luke's been highlighting that. Like Jesus is the king of all creation, but he doesn't stay above those who are sick, those who are hurting, those who are poor, those who have been rejected by society. He doesn't stay above them, but he enters into their space. He enters into their life, and Jesus levels himself with them. This is the great and beautiful humility of Jesus. And as we're reading scriptures, we should really try to like put ourselves in the scriptures, right? Imagine for a second you're a part of that crowd. You're a part of that crowd that Jesus looked down and saw. Think about your life. So they would have been a part of the Roman Empire, which was a very honor-shame culture. These people who couldn't get jobs because they were sick or unclean, they were very poor, they were hungry. Imagine being one of these people. They would have known that they are not important in society. They would have known that they don't have value in society. They would have known that people aren't going to listen to their ideas or spend time with them. Many of these people would have been rejected by their own family or their friends. And that's like the Roman society, but even, unfortunately, in the Jewish culture, these teachings had kind of started to pick up around this time. About 200 years before Jesus, there was a well-respected Jewish teacher, and he had this phrase that was kind of something like Jesus was saying, where he's like blessed and says all of those things. But his sounds very different than Jesus's. He said, blessed is the one who lives to see the downfall of his enemies. Very different than Jesus. Blessed is the one who doesn't serve an inferior. Right? Like things like that. Like that just sounds so opposite to what Jesus is teaching. But this was so common in that society. This idea that we want to be powerful and rich. And if you're not those things, then you're unimportant and you have no value in society. So here's this crowd. And imagine being a part of this crowd and knowing in your heart, your whole life you've been told that you don't have value. You know that, yeah, I'm sick. Yes, I'm poor. I don't have status. There's no way for me to get out of this. I've been outcast from my family. I'm a misfit in society. I don't fit in. I know that my life has no meaning. And because of all these things, that must mean that God isn't close to me, right? That was kind of the idea in that day. That must be what this means. And Jesus looks at this crowd and he says, no. He says, no, those are all lies. All of those things that you've been told and that you believed are lies, and it is not true. Everything that you have ever known, everything that you've heard about your identity and your worth is not true. And Jesus is saying, I love you. And I think that's really what this sermon is about. And Jesus is really saying, surprise, God is on your side. You who are poor, who are misfits, who are hungry, who don't fit in with society, you are blessed. You are blessed. God is on your side. Blessed are the poor, right? God is on your side. You are not a misfit. You do have value. And Jesus is saying, I am releasing my abundant life on you. It's a beautiful, beautiful story where Jesus looks at these people and he tells them that they have so much worth, that they have so much value, that they are so important. And maybe for some of us today, we can kind of relate in some ways, right? Like maybe you know what it feels like for your body not to work the way it should. Or maybe, I think, like even as Kevin was saying during worship, like maybe you've been having kind of a hard week. Maybe things haven't really been going as well as you had hoped. Maybe you've experienced poverty. Maybe you've experienced hunger. Maybe you've been with people who have a disability, or you do, or you have all these things, and maybe you've just felt like you've never fit into society. Jesus looks at you, and he says, you are blessed. Jesus looks at you, and he says, I am with you. He looks at you and he says, you are so deeply loved, and the kingdom of heaven is for you. It's a profound message. This really, really would have hit hard for these people who had never heard anything like that before. So I want to take a closer look at these blessings and these woes. And we can't follow it perfectly because I want to match up the blessings and the woes. They match each other. So the first ones, blessed are the poor. Woe to the rich, right? And they match each other. So I'll just read them out quickly, matched up together. Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. But woe to the rich, for you have received your comfort. Blessed are the hungry. You will be satisfied. But woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Blessed are you who weep, because you will laugh. But woe to you who laugh, because you will weep. Blessed are you when people hate you for my sake. But woe to you when everyone speaks well of you. So it's kind of matching up those blessings and those woes because they mirror each other. And they're interesting things. So remember, in that day, it was very common to think, and I think we still kind of have this idea too, right? This idea that if you're blessed, it means that you're influential, your life is going well, you're powerful, maybe you have money. Like if things are going really well, we say, I'm blessed, right? And it's this idea. And yet Jesus here in a lot of ways is saying the opposite. And that's not to say we shouldn't be thankful when we have good things, but Jesus is flipping everything upside down. Do you see that? This upside down kingdom, he's flipping everything upside down. He's saying, even in the sense that if you're poor, well, you're actually rich because yours is the kingdom of heaven. That's a far greater rich. And if you're hungry, well, he's flipping it. You're going to be satisfied. If you weep now, don't worry, I'm flipping it. You're going to laugh. And really, all of these things, Jesus is just showing that his kingdom is radically different than that of the world. His way is far different than our way, and it's far greater. And Jesus is really, in these passages, what he's saying is he's looking at these poor people, these suffering people, these sick people, these misfits in society, and he's saying, I'm on your team, Right? Like he finds those like those weird kids at the lunchroom and he says, I want to hang out with you guys. Like you're my friends. You're my friend group. And these are who he finds. And he says, my kingdom is yours. And he's saying, this position that you're in, impoverished, sick, unhealthy, maybe you have a disability or a mental illness, whatever it is, this is actually the most favorable position. This is actually the most favorable condition because the kingdom of heaven is yours. Because the kingdom of heaven is yours. Jesus is just flipping everything upside down from what we would think. And really, if we think about this in a practical way, applying this beautiful sermon from Jesus, if we apply this in a practical way, I think it actually can make some sense. So think about these people. That Jesus, he lowered himself to be with them, and they're sick, and their life isn't going well. Their life has been quite hard. And Jesus comes, and he says, I'm making all things new. I want to give you abundant life. Of course, they're going to say yes. Like if your whole life is all about desperation, you're desperate for a savior, your life is not going well, if Jesus offers you these things, you're going to say yes. Yes, Jesus, I want all things to be new. I want your justice. I want your love. I want your abundant life. But if you're very wealthy, your life is easy, things are going really, really well in your life, and Jesus all of a sudden comes along and he says, I'm making all things new. I'm going to completely flip your life upside down. That's a little bit harder to say yes to. If your life has been really good and easy and you've experienced wealth and you've never been hungry and all of these things, it's a little bit harder, I think, to say yes to Jesus, right? That's Jesus, woe are the rich. It's a little bit harder, I think, to say yes to Jesus, to keep your eyes fixed on him. And with this, like, I don't think Jesus is saying it's bad to have money. I don't think he's saying it's bad to be full, to eat enough food, right? Like earlier this week, I got all-you-can-eat sushi. Like I walked out so full, and then I'm preparing this sermon, and like, I don't know. So like, I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. It's not bad if people speak well of this, all of these things. But I don't think that we should assume if you have enough things, if you have maybe enough money, you feel secure, don't assume that you're blessed and maybe the people on the street who are less fortunate are less blessed. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is with those who are in unfortunate circumstances and he levels himself with them. And really this idea, right, like the poor with this offer of Jesus have so much to gain. Those who have lived a hard life, they have so much to gain. And the well-off, maybe you've experienced this. If Jesus calls you and your life is going well, maybe you have money, maybe things are going good, and you feel like Jesus is calling you, it can be a little bit harder. Because we surrender our lives to him, right? We even surrender our finances to him. You have to actually rethink your wealth when you follow Jesus, and that's not an easy thing. It might be a little bit harder to accept the citizen, becoming a citizen of heaven. So for, really, like, we're kind of making this more black and white than it practically is, but for everyone, it's important to have an eternal perspective. So if your life is not going well, things are hard, all of these things, it's important to hold this eternal perspective. To know, well, Jesus says his kingdom is mine, not even in the future, but right now. And it's important to hold the eternal perspective that one day things are going to be okay, that Jesus is with me now. And to even like look at the life of Jesus and say, he actually knows what he's talking about because he suffered in his life, in his death. To look to the cross and see that is the perfect example of this upside down kingdom. To look and see, yes, Jesus truly did enter into our suffering and into our pain. All of these things. And if your life is going well, it's also very important to hold this eternal perspective. If your life's going really well, you might be like, why would I follow Jesus? Everything's great. Well, hold that eternal perspective. Hold the eternal perspective. Woe to the rich, right? Like look to Jesus and say, this is temporary. This life is temporary. What is eternal is important. And Jesus is calling everyone to have that eternal perspective. If life is going well, don't get caught up in this. Don't get greedy. Don't get prideful. But keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Rely on him. And I think it's a challenge as well. If life is going well, how can you hunger and thirst for God? Just like maybe those people down in that plane who were suffering, who hungered and thirsted for renewal. If your life is going well, how can you seek that out and ask, God, would you fill me with this desire and this need for you? So let's jump into this next section of love your enemies that I read. And I'll just reread it because I was like 10, 15 minutes ago. So I'll just start in verse 27 where Jesus says, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. This doesn't literally mean slap, by the way. Slap on the cheek in that day was like an insult. So if somebody insults you, don't insult them back. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That golden rule. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High. What a beautiful promise. Not saying that we have to do these things to become children, but this is what being a child of God looks like. This immense generosity, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful, the word of the Lord. And again, like I said before, this is a very, very high calling. When we think of the mercy and the grace of God, that he offers these things to the most undeserving of people, what a high calling for us. What a high calling for us. The most wicked, our enemies, how can we be not only forgiving them, but loving them? Loving them. Jesus is continuing to flip everything upside down. Right? Like, doesn't that sound so wrong? Like love my enemies? What do you mean, God? Like that sounds so wrong. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. All of these radical things. And really, like, a way we could summarize, like, what is the nicest thing you could do for the worst person? It's not even a strange thing for us to think about. Like, start applying that in your life. That's so strange for us to even process. What's the nicest thing you could do for the worst person you know? Jesus really is calling us. And really, again, he's describing, this is what a citizen of the kingdom of heaven looks like. He's calling us to be relentlessly loving, relentlessly compassionate, and relentlessly forgiving. And to hold on to these things as our core values as citizens of the kingdom of God. So I think it's helpful in the first part, right? Jesus was kind of addressing the not-so-well-off people and the well-off people. And I think we can continue kind of looking at that. So let's start off with Jesus addressing the well-off people in this section. So I just want to clarify, enemy doesn't necessarily have to mean you have, like, this nemesis, like a villain. You know what I mean? That's pretty dramatic. Really, enemy here can just mean anyone who's not your friend. Anyone who is not your friend. And often in that day, that really would have mean somebody in a different social status. Somebody in a different social status. Maybe that's what it means for us today. Like, obviously, as we preach through something like this, I think we kind of have to address. I know not all of us, certainly, but some of us here today, we're more middle to upper class, right? And we have to look at that as we read passages like this. How are we sacrificially loving people that maybe are in a lower class, that maybe experience more suffering? Those who are maybe sick or poor or hungry or suffering in some different way. Maybe people with disabilities. Maybe people who are just outsiders in the church. How are we actually centering in and very specifically and very intentionally loving these people? Like, are they actually the focus of our love? Because like this passage, Jesus is saying it's so easy to love people that love you back. But what about those people that are outside of your circle? That are outside of like your class in a sense, that are outside of your life. It's a little bit harder, isn't it? What are we doing to focus our love on these people? Even just outsiders of the church. Like Jesus, he's obviously talking about like sinners too. How are we loving sinners? People that maybe we would say are a little bit too sinful for the church. How are we relentlessly loving them? It's the call of Jesus. It's a profound kingdom that he is teaching us about. And of course, to those whose lives aren't going well. I think Jesus obviously saw in that day the goal of an impoverished person was how can I climb the social ladder, right? How can I better myself so that I'm out of this social level and I'm a little bit higher? And Jesus is saying, you know how to do that? You know how to win in the kingdom of God? You know how to defeat people in the kingdom of God? It's not by bettering yourself or trying to pull other people down, but it's by relentlessly loving them. That even if those people that are above you in society are mean to you, don't treat you well, don't treat you with value, Jesus is saying, you know how you win? You love those people relentlessly. You do good to them. You are generous. Even though you're worse off than them, you're generous towards them. This is the kingdom of God, sacrificial love. This is the beautiful kingdom of God. It's a profound and upside down world where everything looks different. And it's so, so beautiful. So as we saw with the context, Jesus, he lowers himself. Right, that's really the whole story of Jesus. He lowers himself in humility and in love, and he lowers himself to be level with the most low of society, with the outcasts, with the misfits, with the sick, with the poor. He lowers himself to be on their same level. And I really believe that Jesus, that he invites us to do the same. To realize that we who follow Jesus, we're not just citizens of this world, but we're citizens of his kingdom. How can we lower ourselves? What would it look like for us? Maybe for you personally, for us as a community though as well, as a church, to be a part of this kingdom that Jesus describes. What would that look like? Are we adhering to these kingdom values fully? I think we certainly are in part. I see it through the work of many of you as God works through that. But how can we continue to center ourselves to the values of this kingdom? How can we relentlessly love not just those in this room, but those around us in our community, maybe literally in the Hamptons? How are we meeting the needs of people here? In our city, how are we meeting the needs of people in our city, in our country, in our world? How are we relentlessly and sacrificially loving those who need it the very most? How can we go out unified in this radical love of Jesus? And how can we actually center our community around these people? How can we actually consciously get together and think about this? And practically plan, how can we center around these people, around the sick, around the poor, around people who have disabilities, around people with mental illness, around people who would feel pretty uncomfortable in our church building today? How can we center our love around them? Because Jesus says they are blessed and theirs is the kingdom of God. How can we center around them? Even people that we disagree with. Maybe theologically even, right? Like, we get caught up in these things. And we get caught up in maybe practical, like running a church building takes a lot of work. Running a church takes a lot of work. We get caught up in these things that are important. Let's continue to get caught up in what it looks like to relentlessly love those around us. So I want to apply this in two ways as we wrap up here today. With our series, Growing in Love and Going in Unity, let's think about this growing in love. Maybe today you feel like you're in a low place. Maybe your week didn't go good. Maybe something's going wrong that you're not really telling people about right now. Maybe I don't know what it is for you. I want you to remember that you are blessed, that God is on your side. And not only that, it's not that Jesus is blessing you from afar, but Jesus is lowering himself to you. And he is right there with you. And maybe some of you were hearing at the beginning like all those lies that those people would have been hearing in their lives, and maybe you felt that. Like, maybe you felt like, I just don't really fit in anywhere. I don't really fit in the church, or I don't fit in society, or I don't really have that many friends, or all of these things. Maybe you felt that you don't have that much value, that you're not that important, that people wouldn't listen to the things you have to say. Well, Jesus looks at you and he says, those are lies. You are loved. You are important. You are valuable. And the kingdom of heaven is yours. You are blessed. I'm on your side. This is Jesus. Today I just want to encounter his love, right? What an amazing love. And also going in unity. Obviously what we've been talking about. Like, reading this love, this is a radical love that is so sacrificial, that isn't going to be easy. How can we go out unified by the love of Jesus and love those who need the most? So I just want to spend just a couple of minutes just in prayer. First, just accepting Jesus' love, just encountering that. What a beautiful thing. And then praying that he would lead us as we go. Well, Lord Jesus, would you come? We praise you that you are the King of Kings, and yet that you lower yourself to the lowly, to the sick, to the poor. Jesus, we invite your love today. Would your love encounter us? Jesus, I release your truth right now that everyone here is loved by you. That you delight in everyone here. And I pray that would sink into our lives even this week. That we are so loved by you. So we thank you, Jesus. And we do pray that you, even this week, would be guiding us. What does it look like for us to be a people of this love? Would you be challenging our hearts? Maybe giving us words or pictures of practical ways to do these things. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, yeah, I hope that you have some more time to kind of meditate on this great challenge, I think, that Jesus gives us. But we, something we love to do is to have some discussion groups. Really, it's just a way for us to process what we've heard and to apply it in a communal way. So we're going to have these questions pop up here if you want to use them. If you're not comfortable with this, that's okay. We're not forcing you to do this or anything. But yeah, just find a few people around you and just feel free to discuss and use these questions as a bit of a guide for you here today. So I'll let you go out.
Okay. I hope everyone had a good time of discussion and time of breakout. Why don't we stand and sing in response?
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I move. I will follow.
This week that you continue to encounter the love of Jesus and that it continues to transform us. As a benediction today, I want to read from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen and amen. It's been such a joy to be gathered here with you today. We'll see you next week.
Champion.